tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today's episode, right? It's going to be a little different today. I'm going to be putting politics aside and taking a trip down memory lane when I'm talking about the television shows that made us laugh, the theme songs we can still sing decades later, the cartoons that got us out of bed on Saturday mornings, and the fast food restaurants that fought for our attention with unforgettable commercials, man. If y'all remember those great commercials from the 80s, from these fast food restaurants, those were good times back then, you know? But if you know, right, in today's time, most of us have DVR. So what do we do now when we record our shows now, right? We fast forward all the commercials. But back in those days, damn, commercials was like a staple in our homes. I mean, you go to school the next day or even go to work, whatever, and sometimes people talk about those daggers commercials, man, especially if they were funny, right? Those were some great times back in those days, right? Now, if you grew up in the 70s, the 80s, or the 90s, chances are you remember many of these shows and characters. Some of these theme songs are so iconic that people still know every word. Some of these cartoons, heroes taught us lessons about courage, teamwork, and leadership, and some of these commercials became part of our American culture. So sit back, relax, and let's take a trip back to simpler times. But before I get into all those shows, right? I remember as a kid, young kid, my father, He gave us some money, right? Just enough money to get what he wanted. Not no exchange to give him a piece of candy. None of that stuff, right? And he would have me walk to the store and buy him a pack of cigarettes. Because back then, you know what I mean? They didn't have age limit on buying cigarettes back then. Right? I remember in the grocery store that we frequented back then, it was called Giant's Grocery Store. And right in front of the grocery store, in front of the registers, whatever, there was a vending machine where you could actually buy cigarettes. And back then, cigarettes cost 50 cents. So I put a 50 cent in the machine, gave him a pack of Cools, then walk outside, but by the newspaper stand, and buy him his newspaper, the Washington Post. Never forget that, right? So now going home, when I got home, I would actually, once he took out whatever he wanted from the paper, I would take out what I wanted, right? And that was the comic strip. Every Sunday, I'm like 12, 13 years old. I'm reading the comic strip every Sunday. Some of my favorite shows or less shows or characters from the comic strip, right? One of them, The Amazing Spider-Man, man. This was a newspaper comic that ran from 1977, which I never knew this, until 2019. It appeared in many newspapers across the United States, including papers that carried syndicated Sunday comics, man. I lived for Spider-Man back then, reading the comic strip of Spider-Man. And every week, it continued until the next week. Man, right? Those were some good days right there. Every Sunday, right? Do that before I go to church, before me and my mother actually went to church together. Then, right? Spider-Man was one of them. Of course, Garfield. You know, and who remember reading Garfield from the comic strip? Right? That's when I knew Garfield, before Garfield became, you know what I'm saying, have TV shows and movies and stuff like that, right? I was first introduced to Garfield because of the Sunday comic strips, right? You know Garfield. But who was really Garfield, though? Who was he? I mean, Garfield, he was very lazy. He was a very sarcastic orange cat. He loved some of the damn lasagna. Hates Mondays. And constantly teases his owner, John Arbuckle, and the dog, Ozzy. Why do people really love Garfield so much? Because of the simple humor everyone could understand. Garfield, he always had a clever comeback. Whenever you talk trash to Garfield, he'll go talk trash back to you, and cleverly too, man. Kids like the funny drawings, while adults appreciated the sarcasm, right? Some famous Garfield traits: sleeping all day, eating huge amounts of food, avoid exercise whenever possible. Now, another one I used to love was Blondie. Right? Who didn't like Blondie, right? Blondie Bumstead from the comic strip. Right? This was created by Chick Young in the 1930s now. Think about it. What is Blondie really about? The comic follows Blondie Bumstead, a smart and caring wife. Dagwood Bumstead, her lovable but clumsy husband. Y'all remember that, man? The clumsiness he had, right? Their family life, jobs, neighbors, and every problems that they had. And why did it last so long? It focuses on family life that many people can relate to, man. Think about it, right? Because no matter what people do, when you do things right, like that drawing, artwork, you know what I mean? You do things that people can really relate to. The humor is wholesome and easy to follow. Man, I think that this would be a good sitcom. What y'all think? Right? Blondie should be there. I don't know why they never made it into a sitcom, though. I can remember. I don't remember ever being into a sitcom over the years. I think that would be so cool. Right? Y'all remember Archie? You know what I'm saying? Created by Bob and Tanner back in the 40s, man. Damn. You know, back in those days, man, they had some really good artists back then. And this was like the 30s and 40s, man. Think about it. Back in those days. Right? Archie is a red-haired teenager living in the town of Riverdale. In fact, I used to live in Riverdale, Maryland. Yep. I don't have Riverdale, California, but I remember Riverdale, Maryland, because that's where I lived at, okay? So main characters include Archie, of course, Betty Cooper, Veronica, Judge Head Jones, and Reggie Mantle, right? And why do people love it? Teen romance and friendship, funny school situation, easy to read stories, right? And characters felt like people you knew in high school. One of the biggest running jokes was Archie being caught between Betty and Veronica. So, in your opinion, which was the most popular in terms of newspaper popularity during the 80s? Was it Garfield, Blondie, Archie, or Spider-Man? You know what I'm saying? For many kids growing up in the 80s, the Sunday routine was reading Garfield first. That's for many kids. But for me, it was reading Spider-Man first. Right, then checking out Blondie, Beetle Bailey, and the other comics in the color section. Garfield became such a phenomenon that it spawned TV shows, cartoon toys, lunchbox, and video games. Right, I didn't have none of those damn lunchboxes. My lunchbox was Superman as a young kid. All right, as a young kid, right? Superman was my lunchbox. Now, let's get into it, though, right? Do you remember this TV show called Cheers? That show lasted for about a decade. Cheers, right? Now, the opening line, right? Right? Do you remember this opening line? Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. The opening line may be one of the most recognizable lyrics in television history. Think about it. Right? Back then, a lot of people used to quote those type of lines because these were ordinary people meeting in a bar, in a damn bar, every single week on television, right? Cheers, man. It premiered in 1982, right? You know what I mean? I remember watching Cheers. I think I'm going to see something real quick. I'm going to look it up, right? Because I remember Kirstie Alley, which I love Kirstie Alley. I think she's a phenomenal, may she rest in peace. She was a phenomenal actress. I love her. Everything I've seen Kirstie Alley in, I love. I really do, man. I really love the woman. But, let's see something. I got to look it up. One character, right, that I love, right, on the show. Let's see now. Make sure I get it right. Well, Shelley Long, yeah. Shelley Long. I love her character on the Dagon Show, man. You know what I mean? I thought her and Ted Danson should got together. I mean, they did get together, but really, lad, they all had their relationship issues, man. You know what I mean? But that show lasted for a long time. But even like when Cheers was on, right? I remember watching it, but I wasn't like, oh, because I was still like young. In 1982, I was like 11 years old. So I was still like young, so I wasn't really into it. Like, oh, I got to watch Cheers every week. No, but every time I see it on TV, though, I would actually watch it on TV, right? When I got a little bit older, I mean, I started watching like the reruns and stuff like that, right? With Cheers, right? But like the Cheers premiered in 1982 and was set inside a neighborhood bar in Boston, man. The show wasn't really about the bar itself. It was about the people who gathered there every day. Because even me today, as a grown man, right? You know what I mean? In my 50s. You know, when I was young, I used to go like to the club and go clubbing with my friends. But now I'm older now, I don't even go clubbing. No, I would rather sit in a bar and meet people and talk and have conversations. Now, at my age, I would be strange and we just talk, right? And I really believe Cheers was one of the, that probably put the idea in my head as an older man now. You know what I mean? Sam Malone, played by Ted Danson, was a former professional baseball player turned bartender. Dan Chambers brought sophistication and intelligence to the show, while Carla Tortelli delivered sarcasm and quick wit. Yeah, Carla Tortelli, damn, what was her name, man? She was married to another one of my favorite actors too, the show dude, man. That's the actor in Twin with Arnold Schwarzenegger. What was the hell, man? Off the top of my head, I can't think of his name. But them two was married. I used to love her character on the show too, man. Carla Tortelli, right? She delivered sarcasm and quick wit. Then there was Norm Peterson, who became famous simply by walking through the door and hearing everyone yell, "Norm!" The big dude, man, Norm, man. Oh, man. Those were the days, right? Damn, I still can't remember. Oh, man, I'll probably think about it, man. Man, I got to look it up now. Right? I got to look it up because it's killing me. What's the name, right? Let's see something. I got to look it up. Right, it came in the TV show Taxi. Where was it? Taxi? Oh, man, I can't find it, man. Oh, man. But anyway, right? Damn. Oh, man, I can't find it. Right? Hold on a second. I thought he came in Taxi. I didn't see his name on Taxi. Right? Oh, Danny DeVito, damn. How about, I couldn't think of his damn name, man. Danny DeVito, man. It was killing me. Cause, you know, I've seen Danny DeVito in a lot of movies, right? You know what I mean? One of my favorite movies that Danny DeVito came in, what? With My Cousin Vinny, right? I think that was the movie came in. But anyway, that was some great characters back then, right? I'm looking up, though, just to make sure. I got to look it up. All right, My Cousin Vinny. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Joe Pesci that came in, My Cousin Vinny. But anyway, the damn TV series Cheers, though, man, to me was one of the iconic shows on television at the time. This show lasted about a decade on TV. You know what I mean? And I always believe what set a show was the theme music, man. You get into that damn the theme song of the show. Oh man, you know what I mean? You're like, you're feeling it and you're watching it, enjoying that 30 minutes, that half an hour. And no matter what you are going through in life, right? No matter what your personal life is like, a lot of times watching those TV shows for that 30 minutes or whatever, however time, right? You just forget you're a problem for that time, man. Now, another iconic show which I love was The Facts of Life. No, man, right? You remember this theme song. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. Hey, don't make fun because of my singing, all right? Man, The Fact of Life premiered in 1979 and followed a group of girls attending Eastland School under the guidance of Miss Garrett, played by Charlotte Ray. Man, I lose love for Charlotte Ray too, man. Oh, man, yes. You know, she like that grandmother you wish you had sometimes. You know what I mean? The girls learn valuable life lessons while navigating friendships, family issues, and the challenges of growing up. Think about it, man. This was like the 70s and 80s, man. They're like children today, have a lot of challenges of growing up and stuff like that. Back then, it was the same thing with children of that era. Now, Blair Warner, man, right? She represented wealth and privilege. Now, she's against my damn nerve, man. Because she's so rich and so sadity, all that stuff, man. But she played that part really well, right? Now, one of my favorite characters, though, on that show was Joe. Let me see if I can pronounce the last name on the show. Polly Niazek, right? That was right? She was like a tough female. You know what I mean? Because back then, you didn't see like a tough female on TV. You know what I'm saying? She was a biker girl. Love her motorcycle, her motorbike, right? Her motorcycle. She was hardcore. You know what I mean? She was like I ain't gonna lie to you. Living in the hood, living in the ghetto, a young black kid like me could actually relate to her. She seemed like she would be one of the homegirls, man, that you hang with. You know what I mean? And it don't have to be no sexual thing. Just somebody you hang and you're kicking with, man. Right? So her character could actually relate, you know what I mean, to a lot of young kids from the hood from back in those days. I don't give a damn if you're black, if you're white. If you grew up in Trailer Park, Joe's character, man, on that show, you can relate, right? She was very tough, very independent, and never afraid to challenge authority, right? She speaks her damn mind. Tootie Ramsey, my heart right there. Kim Field, man. You know what I'm saying? From Facts of Life to Living Single to The Upshaws, right? And all the shows in between that she had done. I love me some Kim Field, right? Remember while watching her roller skating? through the house, right? I think every time you saw Tootie, she was on a damn roller skate. Every damn time. You know what I mean? Damn. And then, right? Okay, so Tootie Ramsey, she was very energetic and often provided like comic relief, right? Now, Natalie Green was intelligent, yeah, thoughtful, and frequently served as the voice of reason, man. I actually love played by, I think, Mindy Cohen or whatever, right? The show's theme song perfectly reflected the message of the series. Excuse me, life contained, excuse me, both good and bad experiences, and learning how to handle both is part of growing up. That's the reason the show remains beloved by so many people. The Fact of Life, right? I think they should do a reboot of The Fact of Life. And the perfect person I think should play Mr. Gary Park, you know what I mean? Is what was the name? Is Blair, yeah. I think she'd be a perfect person to play Mr. Gary, man. The Blair character, trust me. I think it'll be funny and good. And I have the rest as guest, like Joe and all the rest, as guest stars, you know what I mean? So, which Fact of Life character was your favorite? Like I said, mine was Joe. Was Joe the most relatable character, just like I asked? Right, so related with me. Could a show like this succeed today? I really believe it could. I really believe that show could succeed today. Now, another show that I love, Good Times. Anytime you meet a payment, man, you know what I'm saying? Good Times, right? Good Times, it followed the Evans family as they live in Chicago, a housing project. The show tackles serious issues, man, such as poverty, unemployment, and racism, while still finding ways to make audience laugh. You know what I mean? The writer had to be clever to do certain things like that, right? James Evans became one of television's most respected fathers. Florida Evans held the family together through difficult times. And J.J. Evans became a cultural icon thanks to his catchphrase, dynamite! Oh, man. Those were stuff like, who, what child back then didn't utter the words, dynamite? You know what I mean? Unlike many sitcoms of its era, Good Times wasn't afraid to discuss real-life struggles. Yet, despite the hardships, the Evans family always found strength in each other, man. The balance between humor and realism is one reason the show continues to resonate. You know what I mean? And one of my favorite episodes, right, of The Good Times is when J.J. Evans wanted to join the gang. And his mother wasn't having that shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, even when he got shot, man, I'm like, man. You know what I'm saying? That show provided real life things, man. Think about it, as a young kid, if you live in the hood, that type of show you can relate to, man. How many of them that have fathers, right, who tried to get that job? You know what I mean? He's still working, but the one job that he wanted, he didn't have much education, right? But the one job that James Evans wanted was to be a foreman for the company. And when he get there, go to the interview, he wouldn't get the damn job, right? Back in those days, most men probably would have been alcoholics, you know what I'm saying, neglecting their family, all of this stuff, right? But James stood 10 toes down as a good father, a family man. You know, he didn't play that shit. You know what I'm saying? James would have beat anybody's butt for his kids. You know what I mean? And who did not? What young black men, but black boys back then, who did not love Thelma? I really believe, right? She probably was the very first sex symbol on TV. Black sex symbol, I should say. She probably was the first. Thelma Evans, you know what I mean? I met her when I was stationed in Fort Knox. You know what I mean? I met her and she was selling a book. I bought her book from her. I couldn't believe I met Thelma from Good Times, man. And at 70 years old, she still looked graceful, looked so beautiful at 70 years old. But back in the 70s, in the early 80s, whatever, she was, I think, Black America's sex symbol. Trust me, she was. Ask any people in my age group right now, black men in my age group who sat down in front of the TV and watched Good Time? Who didn't have a crush on Thelma? Was James Evans one of television's greatest fathers? Did Good Times balance comedy and serious issues effectively? And which Evans family member was your favorite, right? That's the question we need to ask. Now, the Jeffersons. You know what I mean? Well, another song is Don't Fry in the Kitchen. A bean don't fry in the kitchen. Well, we're moving on now. Oh, man. Yeah, y'all remember those sex? You know, Leah Letta, right? I didn't know that Malona was one of the same song. No, Malona was the next door neighbor, man. Right? Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Damn. I'm having a good time. But the characters, though, from the show, though, man, right? I can't remember who wrote the damn theme song for the Jefferson. I think it was Malona, right? From Good Times. The actual wrote the theme song for the Jefferson. And she also sang it, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think it was her that did it. But anyway, the theme song was very iconic. The theme song was so damn iconic. Nelly did it in one of his songs. Nelly, right? On the first album, man. You know what I'm saying? Trust me. That's what iconic that song was, right? Right? The Jefferson began as a spin-off of All in the Family. And who remember All in the Family, right? I love the All in the Family too, right? Where Archie Bunker, he was a racist, pig-headed dude, man. He spoke his mind. And one thing I loved about the show, though, you know what I mean? They tackled issues of the time. I wish, man, they could bring back those type of shows. Damn. Right? So All in the Family quickly became a success in its own right. Joe Jefferson owned a successful dry cleaner business and moved his family into a luxury apartment on Manhattan's Upper East Side. Joe Jefferson was opinionated, stubborn, and often hilarious. Louise Jefferson balanced Joe's personality with patience and wisdom. Together, they became one of television's most memorable couples, man. The theme song celebrated success, achievement, and upward mobility for many viewers. Joe Jefferson represented someone who refused to let obstacles prevent him from achieving his goals, man. And you remember his damn mama? I always mess with Louise, talking trash about Louise, but she always be babying her son George, right? I think that probably might have been the first TV show, the actual show, interrelationship marriage. You know what I mean? That I can remember anyway. I don't think before that show came on TV, I don't remember no interrelationship couples on TV. But the Jefferson show though, that was bold, man. I'm telling you right now, the damn Norman Lear back in the 70s, man, and the 80s. This man created a lot of iconic shows that appeal to a lot of black audience, man. I think he was a very smart man to do that. You see what I'm saying? Because I guarantee back then, most white execs, producers wouldn't think about black audience, man. Right? But Norman Lear did. You see what I'm saying? He did, man. He put these great, right? And he tackled tough issues, too. One thing I watched like a documentary about Norman Lear or whatever, right? Or maybe it was Good Time or something. And one thing about Norman Lear, which I like, when he said, man, sometimes if the shows aren't catching on in the beginning, he will fought to the exec of the TV station to keep those shows on a little bit longer. And he would get his way. You see what I'm saying? So I always do wonder, right? When some of these good shows today get canceled early, too quick, do these executives, the running show, be fighting to keep those shows on TV? I wanted that, man, today. You know what I'm saying? So, is the Jefferson theme song the greatest sitcom ever? Was Joe Jefferson misunderstood? Why do people still love the show today? Right? I'm telling you. The Fresh Prince. I mean, we got a few other to talk about, right? But for time, I might come back to those shows. Now, let me talk about this one show, though, first, before I move on. Three's Company. Come on, knock on my door. Come on, knock on my door. Three's Company, dude. Oh man, I love Three's Company. I think this was the very first white sitcom that I really enjoyed back then. I'm not lying. Real said I enjoy Jack Tripper, man. All right. Who didn't love Terry, right? The female that played Terry. You know what I'm saying? Cindy, Chrissy Snow. Oh man, Janet. Jack. Oh God. I could go on, man. Right. Three's Company became one of the most popular sitcoms in the late 70s and early 80s. The show centered around Jack Tripper, Janet Wood, and Chrissy sharing an apartment under unusual circumstances, right? So John Ritter's physical comedy was the heart of the show. His ability to turn simple situations into hilarious moments made him one of television's funniest performers. Many episodes revolve around misunderstandings, mistaken assumptions, and awkward situations, right? Despite its simple premise, Three's Company became a cultural phenomenon. Even today, many comedians point to John Ritter as the influence. And I'll be honest with you, John Ritter influenced me too to learn how to cook. Because he was a chef, right? So believe it or not, that character kind of influenced me a little bit, man. But it was funny though that he had to play gay, a gay man, so he could live with two women, had to be a roommate to two women, right? Because the Roper, man, Mr. Roper wasn't having that stuff. And every chance he got, he made fun of John's gayness. And if Jack Tripper had a girl there, he'd have to hide the girl, sneak the girl in to the damn apartment that he's having paying rent to. No, that's funny, man. So, no, was John Ritter one of television's funniest actors? Could Three's Company be made today? Which roommate was your favorite, man? I'm telling you right now. John Ritter, right? Man, may he rest in peace. It was shocking when he passed away, right? And even when Susan Summers passed away, shocking to me. You know what I mean? All the stuff too, right? Made them two rest in peace. Cause I used to love her when she came on another show, I think Step by Step. She's a sheriff or something like that. I know she played a sheriff, or a cop or whatever inside the show. And that was a good TV show too, man, right? But watching Three's Company, you know, man, just bring back memories though, man. Now, I got to say another one, All in the Family, man. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played, man. All in the Family changed television forever. The series centered around Archie Bunker, a working class man whose views often clashed with those around him. You know what I'm saying? Because he was very political, right? Archie Bunker became one of television's most controversial and memorable characters. I wish they could put shows like that on TV today, man. People are too sensitive these days, man. You know what I mean? Even though if a character on TV is right wing or left wing, I could care less. If it's funny, it's funny. I'm going to watch it. You know what I mean? Trust me. If it's funny, it's funny. As long as they speak on facts and don't sugarcoat nothing, you know what I mean? I'm going to laugh. See what I'm saying? But to some of these shows today, man, if you try to put on TV, you're going to see people complaining. Trust me. Because when you think about, let's say, a year later, a show called Martin, right, that came on TV, a young black singer today, she's young, I was talking trash about Martin. The show came on in the 90s because he used to make fun of Pam. God damn. It's a TV show, man. Those type of things piss me off. You know what I mean? But Archie, though, man, Archie Bunker, he brought the real tea. We talk trash, right? And him and his son-in-law, man, always got into it, right? And Sally Struthers, you know what I mean? She was good on the show. You know, but she never really become iconic until she started doing those, infomercials or commercials about Africa, Ethiopia, which was a good thing, though. You know what I mean? Could a show like All in the Family exist today? I don't think so. Me personally. Was Archie Bunker misunderstood? Is this the most influential sitcom ever? All right. So, damn. So much TV show I want to talk about, man. Like Silver Spoons, Buck Rogers. Matter of fact, I'm gonna talk about them anyway, because I gotta talk about these TV shows. I might make, let me see how far I get. I might make this into a part two. All right, talk about All in the Family. Silver Spoons. That's another white sitcom I love. Together, we're gonna find our way. Together, we're gonna find our way, right? This show introduced a young Alfonso Ribeiro that came on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, right? Young Alfonso, because he was maybe only for the make, but one of the characters on the show too, right? So Silver Spoons premiered in 1982 and quickly became one of the most popular family sitcoms of the decade. The show followed Ricky Stratton, played by Ricky Shorter, man. I always thought Ricky Shorter should have been a big star, though, man. I really did. I really like him, man. I know he came in quite a few movies, but TV shows on TV, but he never made that big star that he should have been. A young boy who moved in his wealthy father, Edward Stratton III, after being raised primarily by his mother. What made Silver Spoons unique was the fantasy element of childhood. Edward's mansion wasn't just a house. It was every kid's dream. Who didn't dream of living to their mansion as a young child, right? The home featured arcade games, trains running through rooms, toys everywhere, and endless entertainment. Many children watching the show imagined what it would be like to live there. Beyond the toys and gadgets, the show focused on the relationship between a father and a son, learning how to become a family. Edward had to grow up and become a responsible parent, while Ricky had to learn how to fit into a world very different from the one he knew. Great show, man. Really did. Did Silver Spoons have the coolest house in television history? Which toy or feature from the house did you want the most? Was Ricky Schroeder one of the biggest child stars of the ages? I thought so. I mean, but he should be a big adult star, man. You know what I'm saying? He had the look. He was a handsome guy. Had the look. You know what I'm saying? Trust me. I do believe he was probably the teenage heartthrob too for back in those days. Now, one of my favorite shows on TV at the time, right? This is a futuristic show. That enter in the 25th century. I'm talking about Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers. Unlike many television shows of his era, Buck Rogers was designed to take viewers into the future. Man, the series followed Captain William Buck Rogers, a 20th century astronaut who awakens hundreds of years later after an accident leaves him frozen in space. The show featured futuristic technology, space battles, robots, and interplanetary adventures. One of the most popular characters was Colonel Wilmer. Oh, man, I'm telling you right now. Colonel Wilmer Deering, man. Who became one of television's earliest female action heroes. Another fan favorite was Tweaky, the small robot companion whose choice and personality became iconic, man. I'm telling you right now. Colonel Wilmer Deering, right? I'm telling you something. I don't know if you probably won't be able to see it, but who didn't love her? I did. You know what I'm saying? She was a woman three times my age. But I loved her anyway. I thought she was so beautiful and so graceful on the show. Right? So which show was better, right? Buck Rogers or Star Trek? Buck Rogers or Star Trek? Which one was better? Was Wilma Deering ahead of her time as a female action hero? I believe so. Which futuristic technology from the show would you like today? Oh, man. I'm telling you right now how great those iconic TV shows were. You know what I mean? Freaking The Incredible Hulk, right? This was my show. Man, when David Banner told Mr. McGee, the reporter, right, It says, "Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You don't like it when I'm angry." Oh, God. That's like my favorite part. You know what I mean? Off the show, man. Right? That's my favorite part, especially the intro. Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, I got to go on YouTube and actually watch the intro to The Incredible Hulk, man. I'm telling you, the intro is so damn iconic. For television shows captured loneliness, right? Okay, a few television shows captured loneliness the way The Incredible Hulk did. The series starred Bill Bixby as Dr. David Banner and Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk, right? The Incredible Hulk. Lou Ferrigno, he became, back in those days, a very iconic figure. That was a big dude, right? Unlike comic book adaptations today, the show focused heavily on the emotional side of characters. David Banner wandered from town to town, helping people while trying to avoid being discovered. I used to hide, man, you know what I'm saying? And then the damn played by Jack Coven, the reporter, Mr. McGee, I would be trying to track down David Banner, right? The Hulk. Because he always said, him and the Hulk is one and the same. Every episode ended with Banner leaving behind new friends and continuing his journey alone. Man, think about it, right? That had to be a sad life to live, though, man. You know what I'm saying? You go into a damn lab trying to create something, then the creation became you. Think about that, man. Right? And then the creation became you. You still have to leave everything behind because you never know if the creature is going to be homicidal. I'll do something crazy to people that you care about. See what I'm saying? The famous Lonely Man piano theme became one of the most emotional pieces of music ever used on television. Many viewers remember hearing that music and feeling sympathy for Banner's struggle. Hell yeah! The Hulk wasn't portrayed as a monster. He was portrayed as a tragic figure trying to control a part of himself he feared, man. Think about it, man. The Hulk, man, right? Because you don't know when he's going to do something crazy. No, was Bill Bixby the best version of David Banner? Why did audiences connect with the Hulk's loneliness? Is the Hulk a hero, a victim, or both? Now, one show, right, that I watched when I was a kid, called Romper Room, right? Did that do Romper Room and Friends? Man, I'll tell you something. I can't quote the lyrics, right? But that probably, at the time, probably was one of my favorite lyrics on TV, right? The theme song, man, Romper Room, right? So, long before educational television became common, Romper Room introduced generations of children to learning through television. The program first appeared in the 1950s and continued in various forms for decades, right? The show's format was simple. Teachers would guide children through educational activities, games, songs, and lessons. Many viewers remember the famous magic mirror. Oh, yeah. Oh, damn. Mirror in a mirror on the wall. I can't remember how it goes, but I used to remember that like it was yesterday. Segment went when the host would look into a pretend mirror and say she could see children watching at home. For countless children, Romper Room was one of their earliest television memories. It was still one of my earliest, right? The show represented a gentler era of children's programming focused on learning and participating rather than fast-paced entertainment, man. And I'm telling you right now, right? Those kind of TV shows, man, every time I think about it, right, was great at the time. You know what I mean? Romper Room as a young child. And then my mother used to always tell me, "Hey, Vala, go turn off the TV, man. And go read a book. Come on, now. Go read a book." She would tell me, And I'll tell him, well, mommy, but guess what? This stuff is educational. Me, I learned something, you know. Right, I'm talking about Jamaican language. Right? I'm telling you, man. I mean, watching a lot of these TV shows, right? On my 13-inch black and white TV we had back in those days. 13-inch black and white TV. We used to watch those daggone TV shows, man. I'm saying, Romp a Room. You know what I mean? Let me go back up. Three's Company. Oh, I didn't talk about Different Strokes. Right? Oh, man, Different Strokes was my show. I used to love me some damn Arnold, man. Right? No, the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. Think about it, right? That was a line from the theme song, the iconic theme song, man. Right? Different Strokes follow Arnold and Willis Jackson after they move into the home of wealthy businessman Philip Drummond. The show explored race, family, and class differences through humor and life lessons. You know what I mean? I always thought Dana Plato, the young lady that played his daughter, I always thought she was such a beautiful young lady, beautiful girl. I loved her, man. You know what I mean? I always thought she was beautiful, right? May she rest in peace today. May Gary Coleman rest in peace. Man, I hope after death, they found peace. Because they had some tragic life. You know, after the show ended, man. Arnold Jackson became famous for one of television's most recognizable catchphrases. What you talking about, Willis? What you talking about, Willis? What you talking about, Willis? I love that. I used to even mimic Gary Coleman, right? Arnold. I used to mimic it to people. What you talking about? Now I'll say the name. His charm and personality helped make him one of the biggest child stars of that era. The show often addressed serious social issues while remaining family-friendly. Many viewers connected with the relationship between Arnold Willis and Mr. Drummond, right? Mr. Drummond. Now, have y'all noticed, right? The common theme for all these shows that I just discussed, a lot of them talk about social issues of the time. A lot of these shows don't do that today, man. I'm serious. They don't talk about no social issues, which they should. Man, the show often addressed serious social issues, right? Think about it, man. Right? Family friend show. I remember the one episode, which I saw a clip on this the other day, when Arnold and his best friend at the time, I can't remember his name, but anyway, went over to the older guy's house. That was a deep, dark episode, though, man. When they went over to the older guy's house, and the guy wanted to offer him like candy and all stuff, and then tell him to get naked and everything so he could sexual assault them. You see what I'm saying? Man, yeah, as an actor, I know it's just acting, but as an actor, you got to be brave to play that type of character, though, man. You know what I'm saying? He sexually assaulted children? Man, sad, though, man. But it happened in real life. You see what I'm saying? Well, why can't TV change, man, and go back to those days? You know what I mean? That's what I want. TV to go back to those days, man. For real. Because those days, man, you learn a lot. As a young child, I learned a lot. And most of these, you see, a lot of times these damn adults, man, they've been doing this shit. Most of these kids don't care. You see what I'm saying? They're going to watch it. If it's funny, if it's good, they're going to watch. Right? So now, my question is, why was Arnold such a cultural phenomenon? Was Mr. Drummond one of television's best dads? Could Different Strokes succeed today? Could Different Strokes succeed today? Man, now, another show I need to talk about. Right? Now, this show came out as an adult. Right? There's so many great iconic shows that I wanted to put in here, which I didn't. You know what I mean? Like Bill Cosby, A Different World. I know my parents love me. I'm so glad to bring A Different World back. Man, but The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Now, this is a story all about life. Got flipped upside down, right? Oh, let me reset it. Now, this is a story about how my life got flipped and turned upside down. That's one of the lyrics, one of the line from the theme song, man. This may be the greatest storytelling theme song in television history. I believe so. Before the first scene even begins, viewers already understand the premise of the show. The series launched Will Smith's acting career and introduced audiences to unforgettable characters, man. Goddamn. Uncle Phil. What do you think about Uncle Phil, right? And then Jazz. And Jazz talking trash to Uncle Phil. May he rest in peace, man. Damn, all the kind of people dying. Right? And Uncle Phil was grabbing this, there's two more sides of the door, and Jazz go, ah! Who don't remember that stuff, man? Phil became one of the television's greatest father figures. Carlton Banks, the damn dance, became famous for his dance moves, man. And Aunt Viv provided wisdom and guidance throughout the series, though, man. What made Fresh Prince special was its ability to mix comedy with serious topics. Yep. Again, serious topics to talk about. The show tackled race, family, identity, and class while remaining entertaining and funny. So much great shows back in those days, man. You know, I can't talk about all of them, right? Family Matters was a great one. Of course, Martin was Martin Lawrence. Martin, I love the show. Of course, Living Single, right? Step by Step, Boy Meets World. I remember watching, right, as a grown adult, no, right? But a lot of the shows I talk about when I was a kid, right? No, as a grown adult, I used to watch Boy Meets World, right? I mean, I'm talking, yeah, both that too, but on Fridays, I will never forget, right? Every Friday evening, I'm buying me 2 32-ounce of Mickey's beer. And going to the Chinese restaurant. That was right down to where I could walk to, right? The 7-Eleven was right there. The Chinese restaurant was right here. And I didn't have to drive. I could just walk to it, right? This was the early 90s, right? 32-ounce of Mickey's beer. Ordered me some Chinese food. I'd order every Friday. Sweet and sour chicken. I think it was sweet and sour chicken with a fried rice, something like that. Every Friday, I'll drink my beer, right? Read my damn Chinese food and watch my TGI Fridays, man. You know what I mean? Step by Step, Boy Meets World, Family Matters, I think, and a few other shows, right? Those were so iconic to me from those days, man. So I had to really talk about it, right? So now, I couldn't get in everything that I wanted to talk about today. But next week, I'm gonna be talking about superheroes, right? My favorite superheroes that I watched growing up on TV. And if I have time, I'm gonna talk about commercials, TV commercials that I love, like Where's the Beef? That's probably like one of my favorite TV commercials for that time. So now, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.